Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Liz Peek, a columnist at The Hill and Fox News, much on Fox Business, to comment on the word inflation. It is now routine to find concerns about inflation in the Wall Street Journal and other attendant excellent publications that worry about what happened in the past, which was an inflation damaging the economies as they grew in the late 20th century. We have not seen inflation for some time now. However, we're coming out of an extraordinary circumstance, the forced turnoff of the American economy. Therefore, where do you find inflation? It's not a normal cycle, so we look for inflation in unusual places. Liz, a very good evening to you. Bill Dudley, a former New York Fed president and a member of the deputy chair of the Federal Reserve, vice chair of the Deputy Reserve for many years, has written a column for Bloomberg Opinion saying he believes that inflation is here, that the Fed will move before 2024, and that it will move more aggressively. How do you measure the concerns that we're reading routinely in all areas? Are they giving us good information, or are they assuming the future on the basis of the past, given that we're in extraordinary circumstances? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. I think the best thing you can say about the circumstances today and the decision-making of the Fed is that we're really flying blind. And I think if they were more honest, they can't really be honest about this, but I think they would admit that. We have never been in a position where the economy is coming back to life, not because of stimulus measures, not because of anything that's happened sort of exogenous, but rather because by fiat, an economy that was shut down is now being allowed to reopen. So combined with the fact that consumers spent an entire year sitting on their income and now have, it's estimated, $3 trillion in excess savings, and people are itching to spend it and itching to travel and do all the things they couldn't over the past year, and we've had an unprecedented amount, trillions of dollars in extra stimulus spending, and the Fed has been extra accommodative in terms of monetary supply. You know, we don't really know where we are. So everyone is reading the cross currents pretty intensely. And I think the one thing that is worrisome is that prices are definitely going up. Commodities prices, if you look at a chart, are just through the roof. And it's beginning now to hit consumers. For a while, it was just showing up in manufacturers saying, gosh, you know, our costs are going up, so we may have to raise prices. When you look at the surveys of the National Federation of Independent Businesses, for example, the big group that surveys whose members are small business owners, that's been a persistent complaint for months. But again, it really is just now reaching consumers. I saw a thing from Nielsen IQ this morning on Twitter, and I'll just read this to you. It said the higher prices food makers have been warning about for months have hit U.S. grocery carts. Seafood's up 18.7% in the 13-week period ended April 24. Baked goods like donuts and rolls are up about 7.5%. And I could give you a list of other things in the same category, chicken. And, you know, anyway, anyone who's been to the grocery store knows prices are rising. And that people are out there saying that's a tax on Americans. Of course, it is a tax on Americans. But Americans also have been given recently pretty big checks from the government. So at the moment, this is not, I think this is worrisome. It's not a huge problem, but it could become one as it sort of sifts through the economy. And I think that's what we're seeing now. And I think the Fed needs to watch this very, very closely because, you know, Not only do we still have ultra-low interest rates, but the Fed continues its asset purchasing program of $130 billion, I think it is, a month. And that's just a huge amount of liquidity going in to markets. And I think people are beginning to say, wait a minute, you know, Bitcoin at the price it is, a joke, Dogecoin becomes a highly priced asset. Aren't these signs that there's maybe a little too much money sloshing around the economy? You know, I don't care where Bitcoin sells. You don't care. But maybe when it begins to show up in higher grocery prices, people are going to say, this is not working well for me.
Liz, can we tell if this is we let the inventory get too low, if this is supply chain disruptions because of various Suez Canal, but also the fact is that we've been slow for a long time and there's demand now, or this is what you'd have to say, a concatenation of all of the above, plus the economy snapping back from an extraordinary circumstance. Can we tell if it's real inflation or if it's inflation that we constructed on the basis of those circumstances?
Well, it's a good question. There are a lot of different cross currents. And certainly the fact that manufacturers and retailers really underestimated the strength of the economy, I'd say as far back as August of last year, and let inventories get way too low. We saw that happening, and you and I have talked about it for months and months. Everybody underestimated the strength of the economy, and when it began to exceed their expectations, they were caught short, no question about it. So what did that mean? That meant shipping costs went up because everybody sort of landed on the suppliers at the same time. Raw materials prices, all those things definitely edged up because not just in the U.S., but in China, too, the two biggest economies in the world, we saw all of a sudden a ramping up of demand that took everyone by surprise. And by the way, you know, I think, you know, we're going to look at automakers, for example, and wonder how they didn't see this coming, but they sure didn't because, boy, they really got caught out. Obviously, the industry that got particularly caught out was semiconductors.
Right.
And I got to tell you, I've read a lot about this. I really don't yet understand how it is that all the makers of products that depend on electronics did not anticipate that there might be a shortage of product. And that's really hurting, for example, auto production right now. But I think, John, all these things are happening at once. And you do have a global synchronized recovery, because even Europe is managing to eke its way out
of
this.
Right. I even had good news about Italy, for heaven's sake.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. And who would have thunk it, right?
Right.
So I think you do have just this huge surge in demand. It's led to, prices going up because, you know, frankly, companies think they can raise prices now that demand is that strong. And again, I think everyone's a little bit on their back foot. You know, the Fed has been wrong. They've been underestimating the strength of the economy. I think they're also now underestimating what it's going to mean for inflation and what it might mean in terms of interest rates. I think Bill Dudley could be completely right. And frankly, it's a little disheartening to me. You know, Janet Yellen made this sort of off-the-cuff remark about how interest rates might rise if we have an overheating economy. And then, of course, she had to walk that back because that really cast doubt on whether or not $4 trillion in stimulus spending was an intelligent idea. I think it's not. I think probably even Janet Yellen questions the validity of that. But to have, after her walk back of her remarks about overheating, every Fed chair practically come out and say, oh, no, inflation's not a problem. You know, I think they protest too much. And I think they're really perhaps facilitating something where 6 months from now we're going to think they really blew it.
We also have an economy that's not all together. The blue states and the red states are quite out of sync with each other. I understand Europe is recovering and Asia is recovering, but the economy will have a better picture, if I understand correctly, when New York and California are participating. New York and Illinois, New Jersey, Massachusetts, Connecticut are participating with the states such as Florida to Texas. And that hasn't happened yet, Liz. There's a lag here.
Yeah, there's a lag. It's happening. I mean, Cuomo is doing this little dance of allowing the restaurants to open to 75% instead of 50%, as though they're paying any attention at all, because they're not really. But, you know, let's talk about the jobs report, because a lot of these trends and issues surfaced in a jobs report last week, which was obviously monumentally disappointing. We only gained 266,000 jobs. The expectation was almost a million. Most economists were flatly saying it's going to be a million. That is a huge miss. And I think it has to do with a bunch of factors. Certainly, the extended unemployment benefits are something that every single business owner will tell you is suppressing people coming back to work. Also, schools, I haven't checked these numbers, but I read somewhere that employment of women just didn't go up at all. And I think that's probably a testament to the fact that if your school's closed, you just can't leave home and go back to your job. But I also think it is because business owners, one survey of CEO confidence I saw looked at CEOs of big companies, and they're worried about higher taxes. I mean, how they should be worried about higher taxes. Joe Biden, I said in a piece I put out this morning, he's got his foot on the gas and the accelerator. I mean, the gas and the brake at the same time. It doesn't even make sense. So I think people are nervous about that, and I think they should be.
Yes, let's talk about the politics of the moment when we come back. Liz Peek of The Hill, a columnist, of Fox News, a columnist, much on Fox Business. We'll turn to the politics of the recovery next, especially because the Biden administration has big plans that took a moment pause when we had that disappointing unemployment number some days past. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.